Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 15th, 2019. Today is Monday in Holy Week. This is a reading from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was in Bethany, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." This is John's telling of the Palm Sunday narrative. And yesterday in church, we heard Luke's version. It all revolves around people understanding Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem as almost an apocalyptic event, signaling the end of one age and the beginning of another. What I've been thinking about a lot today has to do with John's telling of the Passion story, which we're going to hear throughout this week. And in particular, and it's in all of the Gospels, but in particular John, constantly sets Jesus over and against this group that the New Revised Standard Version translates the Jews. Now, I know I've said this plenty of times. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus' followers initially were Jews. Certainly, Jesus had a fractious relationship, or at least that's how it's displayed in the Gospels, with the religious leadership who would have been Jews, the people who were leading the priests, the establishment, so to speak. But it always comes up in Holy Week, and unfortunate ways of reading these passages of Scripture have marred the Christian church for centuries. And so earlier today, I read a statement that someone had written to try and explain to her congregation what this phrase, "the Jews," means in the Gospel of John, and particularly during this very tender time of Holy Week. And I simply want to read it. This is by the Reverend Dr. Mary Luty, who's a United Church of Christ pastor. "As Christians, we live under the burden of a sad and violent history of anti-Semitism in the sobering shadow of the Shoah," that's the Holocaust. "It is critical for us to be clear about what our sacred texts mean when they make reference to, quote, the Jews, unquote, especially during Holy Week when we contemplate Jesus' death. When the crucifixion narratives speak of the chief priests and leaders of the people, they are referring to officials who collaborated closely with the Roman systems of oppression and were viewed with contempt by much of the Jewish community in their time. They should not be identified with the Jewish people of the past as a whole, and certainly not with Jews in the present. It may be helpful to recall the cultural context of our Christian scriptures emerging as they did from a small, originally Jewish community of believers in Jesus as the Messiah. All of the Gospels originated from Jewish communities. Jesus himself was born, lived, and was crucified a Jew. Any criticism of Jews from Gospel writers should be understood as the expression of differences of opinion among or about their fellow Jews. The Gospels' use of the term, quote, the Jews, end quote, therefore should not be read as a criticism of the Jewish religion, and especially not as a condemnation of an entire people, either then or now. It is one of the bitter ironies of history that our sacred texts have been used to justify the persecution of the covenant people from whom our Savior came and who are created, as we all are, in the precious image of God. That seems particularly poignant to me, that we remember this as we move through these particular texts of Scripture that have close meaning to us during this holiest of holy weeks. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.